Praise you, Lord. You got a Bible? All right. Genesis chapter 12. Open on up to Genesis chapter 12. And this morning is our last morning in the series on miracles, but it will not be the last Sunday that we talk about miracles, if you know what I mean. And so Genesis chapter 12, what I want to do this morning as we close off our time, we've been talking about miracles. We talked about Naaman getting healed of leprosy, dipping into Jordan River seven times. We talked about the Israelites and how God provided healing by letting them look at a snake on a pole. And we talked last week. Anybody remember last week? Yeah, Joshua, that's right. That's right. Joshua commanding the sun to stand still. That's good. That's good. And so this morning, I want to do more than just focusing on a miracle. I want to take a step back, and I want to talk to you about vision. Because I don't want to end this time together and get so caught up in miracles that we start getting fixated on miracles. What we need is not a miracle. What we need is a vision. And the title of my message this morning is Your Vision Holds Your Miracle. So we need more than just a miracle. We need more than just to look for miracles and believe for miracles. We actually need to have a vision. And so in Genesis chapter 12, we meet a man named Abram, who is later renamed Abraham. So if I go back and forth between calling him Abram and Abraham, it's just tomato, tomato, okay? You understand who I'm talking about. A story about Abram. And Abram's miracle in the story is to have a son. That is the miracle. But that is not the point of the story. God gave Abram more than a son. He gave him a vision before he ever gave him a son. Because your vision holds your miracle. Here's the thing. God always, he's always dealing with the potential of what could be and not the present reality of what is. Always. God does not look at your circumstances and go, oh, I'm so sorry. He doesn't get down in the pit with you and get lost in despair and in discouragement. God always sees the potential of what could be and not the present reality of what is. We know this. Genesis chapter 1, what is the first thing that happens in the Bible? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered everything. There was nothing there, and God said, let there be light. God did not look at darkness and get depressed. God saw the potential of what could be, and so he created. This is what God always, always, always does. So we need to learn to the art of declaring over ourselves, I'm not where I want to be, but you know what? Not where I used to be. Because we can get frustrated because we see that there could be something better for us, but we need to get perspective to be able to see, you know what? I'm not where I want to be, but you look back and you go, thank God, not where I used to be. I'm heading in the right direction. You know, there's a reason why the thing that Jesus said more than anything in his earthly ministry was fear not. Anybody want to guess why? Because we have a problem with fear. Fear not. Don't be afraid. Only believe. Paul picks up on it in the New Testament. Don't be anxious about anything. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Why? Because God knows that we have a problem with fear. Our tendency is this. When we receive the slightest suggestion of bad news, your brain, your soul, your flesh wants to get afraid. Your body tries to paralyze you in fear. We get fixated on a problem. And we tend to get tunnel vision, don't we? You hear really bad news? You can't see 5 minutes from now. You just hear the news and you get locked in. You get tunnel vision on bad news. So what do you need in order to get out of it? You don't just need a miracle. Here's the thing about miracles. They're wonderful. They're exciting. They're beautiful. But they come and they go. Well, what do you mean by that? Here's what I mean. You find yourself in a situation where you need a financial miracle and God provides and you get that financial miracle. And then you know what happens? You spend that money on whatever you needed the money for, and now the next time that you need more money, you need another miracle. So you get healed of some sickness, but there might be some other moment in your future where you experience sickness again. So that's what I mean. Miracles come and miracles go. They are not the solution to your problem. What we need is not just another miracle. What we need is a vision. And this is what God gave to Abram. Because if we focus all of our time on what we don't have, we will get depressed. Every single person in this room is just a few moments in life of focusing on the wrong things away from absolute depression. What did Iantha read this morning? Philippians 4:8. We need to learn what things to think on. If you would spend, just think about this. If you would spend a couple hours making a list of all the things in life that you wished you had that you don't have, who in here thinks they'd be encouraged at the end of that little activity? Right? If you were to focus on all the things in life that you wish you had that you don't have, you would get depressed. You know what happens when you spend your Friday night scrolling through Facebook looking at other people do things that you're not doing? You get lonely. They've done statistical research and said this. The more time that you spend scrolling on other people's stuff on Facebook, the more lonely you get. The more depressed you get. Because you say, oh, you know, thanks for taking that selfie at the Jays game. Thanks for not inviting me to the Jays game, right? It's this constant reminder that other people did stuff that you weren't invited to. Anyway, that's my social media rant for today. But one a week, I got to just throw that one in there. Genesis chapter 12, first three verses. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all families of the earth shall be blessed. So God tells Abram two things. First thing he says, or one of the things he says, is I'm going to bless you, I'm going to make your name great, and I'm going to bless other people through you. That's good news, right? That's exciting stuff. The other thing is this, you got to move out of your mom and dad's house in order for me to do that. But he tells Abram that in the opposite order. He says, you got to go, you got to leave mom and dad, and you're going to go somewhere that I'm going to show you. He doesn't even tell him where he's sending him. He just says, you got to go. And once you do that, then I'm going to bless you. Now, here's what I just find to be one of the amazing things about God, is that he actually gives you a reason to obey him. You know that God doesn't have to do that? Did you know that he's God and we're his creation? And if he tells us to do something, that the appropriate response is, sir, yes, sir? Like, he owes you no explanation. He could have told Abram, pack your bags, I'm bringing you somewhere else, you got to move out, and I'll show you when you get there. And it's like, should I pack shorts or pants? Like, where are we going? How much stuff should I pack? How long are we on vacation? Like, are you just taking me to Disney World? Or, like, could I pack everything that I have? But he actually gives him the motivation. He says, if you obey me, then I'll bless you. And I'm going to bless all the families of the earth through you. Two pieces of information that he gives Abram. Why? Why does he not just give him the instruction? He also gives him a vision. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great. And I'm going to bless every family on planet Earth through you. That's called vision. It's so big that you've got to imagine it in order to see what it looks like. God just can't help but have vision. God sees the potential. Isn't this amazing that when God looked at dirt, he said, I can make a guy out of that. And then God looked at the guy and he looked at his rib and he's like, I can make a woman out of that. When was the last time, ladies, that you looked at your husband's rib and said, yeah, I could see the resemblance? Right? God has such an imagination. He has such vision that he is able to see amazing, amazing potential. So why does Abram need to leave home? We often need to leave what is familiar in order for God's vision to come to pass in our lives. We all need to be willing to let go of what's familiar. You need to be willing to let God interrupt your schedule. If you are unwilling to let God interrupt your schedule, It is very likely you won't get a vision from him. So the Lord leads Abram to a place called Canaan. And this land did not belong to Abraham. It didn't belong to Israel at this time. This is B.I. This is before Israel. Okay, so you got to put on your historical cap here, because we think about Canaan and we think about the Israelites. No Israelites. These are Canaanites there. So God leads Abraham into Canaan. And then he says this, Genesis chapter 12, verse 7. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." He shows up once again. This is the second time he speaks. And what does he do? He gives Abram more vision. As you walk through the land of Canaan, I want you to see these people are not going to be here forever. There's going to be a day where these people are your people. Your family is going to live in this land. What is God giving Abram? Vision. You need to see it. If you can't see yourself free, it is not likely you ever will be. If you cannot picture what it looks like for you to be healthy, it is unlikely that you ever will be. If you cannot picture yourself living with self-control, "Oh, well, I could never give that up. Well, I could never control my eating. Well, I could never say no to pie." I probably sinned on that one. I probably said that several times. "Please, Lord, don't take my pie away from me." If you cannot even imagine a reality in which you had a greater level of self-control, you're not going to get it. You've got to have a picture. So God constantly interrupts Abram and gives him a vision of where he could be and not where he is. So he says, "To your offspring I'll give this land." By the way, good time of the story to mention, he doesn't have any kids. By the way, good part of the story to mention, he's 75 years old. Side note, good time to mention, it was probably time for him to move out of mom and dad's place, don't you think? He doesn't have one kid, and God looks at Canaan, and he says, "I'm going to give this entire land to your offspring." Now, if God's only going to give you three offspring, you don't need a whole land, do you? He shows him he doesn't show him a house. He doesn't say, "Oh, I'm going to give you this little corner house or apartment over here for you and your family." He says, "I'm going to give you an entire land." That's how many kids. That's how many grandkids. That's how many great-grandkids you're going to have. Now, he doesn't give Abram a playbook. He doesn't give him a step-by-step. So he doesn't know how that's going to happen. He doesn't know how he's going to have all these kids. He doesn't know how God's going to provide the miracle. And you'll notice this in your life, that most likely, you can correct me if I'm wrong, most likely God has not given you a detailed account of everything that he wants you to do in order to get where he wants you to go. Is that correct? Anyone in here ever received an email or a text message from God explaining the next 3 to 5 years of your life? No. If you have, forward it to me, because I would love to take a look at that. You'll notice that God doesn't do that, and I'm not trying to put limits on God. If he wanted to, he could, but he likely is not going to. Here's how God dealt with Abram, and here's how I believe he deals with all of us. He gives you two things. Ready? Two things. Next step, big picture. God, you can do whatever you want, but I really don't think he will hardly ever give you more than those two pieces of information. Next step and big picture. "Well, yeah, but God, if I do this, I mean, I really just, God, I'm just curious. What's step two? What's step three?" You're not qualified for step two until you do step one. Next step, big picture. So here you go, Abram. Pack your bags. You're going. I'll tell you where you're going when you get there. Shorts or pants, sweater or t-shirt, flip-flops or boots. I'll tell you when you get there. You obey. And then God reveals the next chapter. Okay, so Abram goes through Canaan. God reminds him of the vision. He ends up in a place called Negev. And while he's in that place, he gets into strife with his nephew, Lot. Okay, appropriate time of the story to mention that he didn't actually fully obey the Lord. When God told him to leave his family, he actually brought his nephew along with him. So if you've ever tried to partially obey instructions from God, anyone in the room? "I did most of what you said," right? There's hope for you. Abram partially obeys the Lord. He brings his nephew Lot, and what happens when you partially obey the Lord? You get into strife. Surprise, surprise. Things don't go well. So Abram and his nephew Lot get into strife, and they end up having to separate. And they separate, and God shows up. Genesis chapter 13, verse 14. The Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, notice, after Lot had separated from him, lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land that you see I will give to you and to your offspring. I will make your offspring as the dust of the earth, so that if you can count the dust of the earth, your offspring also can be counted. Arise and walk through the length and the breadth of the land, for I will give it to you. God shows up and speaks to Abram again. What does he give him? Vision. God is always trying to give you vision. Now, I don't have a verse to support what I'm about to say because we don't get the whole story. But I think if you're a human being, which I think 100% of the people in the room are, you'll understand what I'm saying. Moses, why do I keep saying Moses? We're not talking about Moses. Abram has just separated from his nephew because of strife. Do you think that the thing that he is thinking about at that moment is that God would bless him and make his name great and bless all the nations of the earth through him and give him offspring? Not likely. What do you experience when you experience strife in close relationships, particularly with your family? Are you thinking about the last thing you read in the Bible? Are you thinking about the last sermon that you heard at church? Are you thinking about the last thing that you felt the Lord said to you? Probably not. The last time that you experienced strenuous relationships with close family members, you felt sad, you felt frustrated, you felt angry, you were consumed and fixated on the problem. And I would like to propose to you that when Lot and Abraham separated, Abraham was actually pretty upset. And the last thing that he really thought that he needed was to hear another vision from God. If he were to ask God for something, I believe that he would ask if he could help heal this relationship with his nephew. That was what would have been on his mind. And what does God do? God shows up. Verse 14, God shows up and says, lift up your eyes and look at the place. Look from the place where you are. Look everywhere. I'm going to give you all this land. And Abraham must be thinking, God, I'm not thinking about like increasing my property ownership right now. I'm thinking about my family. But what's God doing? He's giving you a better perspective. What does he say? This ought to be a life verse for every person in this room. Lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are. I don't know where you are, but I do know that this is God's word for you this morning. Stop looking at it. Stop staring at your problems. You know what happens when you stare at them? They get bigger. God shows up and he says, Abram, stop. Don't worry about this. Get a new perspective. And then, this is the first time he tells him, he paints him a picture of how many offspring he's going to have. Abram, start counting the grains of sand on the earth. That's how many kids you're going to have. Anybody think they were busy with a couple kids? Anybody? A couple grandkids? I'm so busy. God says, count the grains of sand on the earth. And if you can count them, which you can't, if you could, you'd know how many offspring I'm going to give you. Okay. Let me say this. God's vision for your life is bigger than your current dilemma. That's a good word, Pastor Tim. Thank you for that. God's vision for your life is bigger than your current dilemma. Your problems don't scare him. That's good news, isn't it? Turn to chapter 15. All right, so some years go by. Abram is, as the saying goes, not getting any younger. He was 75 when we started. Now he's encroaching into his 80s, early 80s, and still no offspring, still no children. God shows up. Verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household shall be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and number the stars. And if you are able to number the stars, he said, so shall your offspring be. Okay, can anyone sense a little frustration in Abram's voice? God shows up and says, Abram, you're doing great. You're standing in faith for the promise. And I just want to let you know that your reward is going to be great. And Abram says, yeah, right. I mean, when you read this, this is pretty disrespectful stuff. Abram says, what will you give me? You still haven't given me a child. That's not a happy camper. That's not a happy churchgoer. What are you possibly going to give me? You still haven't given me a child. You want to give me as many children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren as the dust of the earth, and how about you start with one? Like, that would be nice. Abram is frustrated, and God shows up. He says, I'm going to give you so many kids. And Abram's just asking the question that we all ask. When? Come on, anybody? Ever want to ask God, like, could you just, like, when? Because if you tell me 20 years from now, then I'll set a reminder in my calendar to get excited in 19 years. When? And God says, it's gonna happen. It's going to be good. See, God never stops getting excited for your future. Never. He doesn't say, I understand how you're feeling, and yeah, this must be pretty upsetting, and you just got to trust in me. God's tone does not change. Every time he shows up to Abraham, same thing. He says the same thing. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to give you so many children that you can't even count them. Have fun remembering all their names, by the way. And you know what Abram wants? Abram wants a son. And I think sometimes we over-spiritualize people in the Bible, and we're tempted to think that it was God who wanted Abram to have a son so that he could make the Israelite nation, and he could bless the world. Sometimes we forget that Abram wanted a son for the same reason that any of you wanted a son or a daughter. Because he wanted to be a father. See, sometimes we just make this all, like people in the Bible, they were just so holy and so selfless. So Abram must have, his only motivation for wanting a kid must have been to obey God. No, Abram wanted to be a father for the same selfish reason that any of you wanted to have kids. I'm not being harsh on Abram, I'm not being harsh on you. But when you made a decision to have a child, wasn't there some selfishness involved there? Right? Well, nobody wants to agree with me on that. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying that you're a terrible person. I'm saying that when you wanted to have a child, you, notice the sentence starts with you. That means it's selfish. You wanted to have a child. You wanted the benefit of having a child and building memories with a child. And of course you wanted good things for the child. I'm not saying that you're evil. You're looking at me like I'm being so cruel here. There is selfishness involved in the decision to have a child, right? Okay, now that we got the point, we can move on. Thank you, Anders. Abram just wants a kid. And God has done nothing to even get the ball rolling. So Abram says, what are you going to do, God? And this is his response. I love this. Abram picks a fight with God. And God says, let's take it outside. Verse 5. And he brought him outside. This is how I read the Bible, by the way. I make it like a really funny movie in my head. And he brought him outside. And he said, look toward heaven and number the stars. If you are able to number them, so shall your offspring be. He does not God never stoops down to your level and gets into an argument with you. You can pick a fight with God all that you want. And what does God do? He just casts the vision. Well, last time I used the sand of the dust of the earth, the sand of the earth, that didn't work for you. Why don't you try looking up? Abram is getting so frustrated with God. Have you ever been frustrated with God? You don't have to answer that, but you can. And God says, hey, Abram, get out of the tent. Take a look at this. Look at how many stars. And Abram's going, I just want a child. One child. And God's like, yeah. Look at the stars. Look at all the stars in the sky. That's how much your offspring's going to be. God is so excited about your future. If we would just get unstuck from the present. God's vision is so big for you. It was so big for Abram. Why did God need to take Abram out of the tent? Because the tent that Abram was moping in was not big enough for the vision that God had for him. Sometimes you need to get out of that little corner of the earth that you live in and look at the sky and ask God what he has for your future. If your vision can sit inside the place that you're currently living, it's too small. If you can accomplish everything that God wants you to accomplish without ever moving, doing something bigger, seeing something bigger, it's too small. So God took Abram outside, gave him a new vision. Why? Because your vision holds your miracles. So some more time goes by. No child. Abram and Sarah do what all of us are tempted to do, all of us are inclined to do, many of us have done many points in our lives. We try and help God do his end of the deal. So Sarah says, well, this isn't working. I can't bear any children, so why don't you sleep with my servant? And so Abram sleeps with Hagar, and they have a baby boy named Ishmael. Try to help God along. And without going into a history lesson, let me just say, trust me, you don't want an Ishmael. You do not want to try and help God do his end of the deal. It will end badly. Here's what I find interesting. You read through the whole story. They go ahead and they make this plan and they have a baby and they have Ishmael through an affair. And God doesn't even say anything. Like, God doesn't even show up and be like, what's the matter with you? He doesn't interrupt him. He doesn't say like, hey, why don't you just keep trusting in me? He just lets it happen. And then here's the next time that God shows up. 13 years after Ishmael's been born. Ishmael's 13 years old. 13 years. And Abram finally has a son, but it's not really the fulfillment of the promise. And so Abram's got to be wondering, like, is this it? Like, is this all that God has for me? 13 years go by. Genesis chapter 17 and verse 8. And God shows up and he says this. I will give to you and to your offspring after you the land of your sojourning and the land of and all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. God shows up. It's been 24 years, and you know what God's saying? The same thing. Because God's message never changes. The vision never changes. He shows up and he's like, hey, Abram, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to make your name great and I'm going to use your families to bless every family on planet Earth. And Abram must be thinking like, have you not been watching my life for the past like 13 years and 9 months? When I tried to help you and I had an affair and I got a mess made out of my life and God shows up and he's got the same message. Abram, I've got big things in store for you. You know, there's no mistake that you can make that'll make God scratch his plan out. Well, that's good news. It's okay. Calm down, folks. This is just like, just calm down. I know this is a lot to take in. Like, isn't that good news that there is no mistake that you can make that can make God take an etch-a-sketch to his plan for your life and say, oh, well, I can't use you anymore. Come on. I'm getting excited. Nobody, that's fine. I like this. This is good stuff. Good stuff, Pastor Tim. God shows up and he says, I'm going to give you and your wife Sarah, the way that it was supposed to be, in marriage. In marriage, you're supposed to have sex. In marriage, you're supposed to have children. God says, this is my plan, and so I'm going to give you a child. And I know that you're 99 years old. I know that you're not getting any younger, but God finally gives him a time frame. He says, this time next year when I come back, you're going to have a baby, and you're going to name him Isaac, because that means laughter, because when everybody hears your story, they're going to laugh at you. It's not exactly what he says, but Isaac does mean laughter. So he finally gets a time frame on how it's going to happen. And Abram's tired. It's been 24 years of hearing the same promise and the same promise and the same promise and the same promise and the same promise. And you know what Abram says? Abram says, can't you just like accept Ishmael? Like, can't you just like pretend that this, we did things the right way and just, can't we just, can't you just accept Ishmael is what Abram says. God says, no. God will always see to it that his plans are accomplished. Always. You're going to do this, and you're going to do this the right way. See, God believes in you. He believes in you so much that even when you mess up and get off track, God shows up and says, we can still do this, you know. We can still accomplish my plans for your life, if you'd like. 1 year later, Isaac was born. And here's the thing. That was not the fulfillment of the vision. That was just the miracle. Don't get fixated on the miracle. When we get fixated on the miracle, what happens? When you receive your miracle, you tend to get relaxed and go, oh, thank you so much, God, for doing that. And we get relaxed in our faith, and we kind of go to church less often, and we read our Bible less often, and we get comfortable when we get a breakthrough sometimes. You understand what I'm talking about? Sometimes we go, oh, yeah, and we just kind of relax. No, the vision keeps you going and saying, no, the miracle is not the fulfillment of everything. There's more. There's more than just Isaac. There's more generations to come. And so Isaac wasn't the vision. He was just the miracle. What's the vision? Look toward heaven and count the stars. Look up from where you are. What's the point? Don't get too focused on your miracle. Don't get too focused on the next miracle you think that you need. Get a vision for where God's taking you. Get a vision for what he has in store for you. So I want to tell you a story before we dismiss this morning. This message was birthed in a hospital room about 2 weeks ago when I was visiting Beverly Walker. And we've been keeping you as a church family updated on Beverly, and we've been keep lifting her up in prayer. To make a really long story short, if you don't know Beverly, Beverly has been a part of our worship ministry for many years, but she hasn't been around because she's been in and out of the hospital, mostly in the hospital for the last year and a half. And they removed her one leg up to her knee about a year and a half ago due to an infection in her body from diabetes. And they sent her home just a couple months ago. We were thinking that everything was good. And since then, she went back to the hospital, and they had to remove her other leg up to her knee. So about 2 weeks ago, week and a half ago, I'm going to visit Beverly for the first time since they've removed her other leg. And as I go in, she is looking down at where her legs used to be. And if I can just be real honest with you this morning, I had no words for her. Pastors aren't supposed to say that kind of thing, but I'm just being honest with you this morning. I had no words for her. But here's the good news. God did. You know that God always has a word for you? Always. That's why you always pick up that book. That's why you always come to church, because God always has a word for you. So I didn't know what to say. And God put Genesis 15:5 on my heart. Genesis 15, chapter 5, chapter 15, verse 5. And he brought him outside and said, look toward heaven and number the stars if you are able to number them. Beverly's looking down at where her legs used to be and sharing with me that she could have never imagined a future where she would not have legs. And with a boldness that only the Holy Spirit can give, I said, Beverly, you need to stop looking at where your legs used to be and start looking at the stars and begin to dream again. because you're still here. Hey, John, your mom's still here. Which means he isn't finished with her. And so Beverly started to share with me the vision that she's had and that she's always had to just be used by God and to travel and to sing and to share about his goodness. If you haven't heard Beverly sing, she has a beautiful voice. And I just got excited. I got a vision for her future. I got a vision of seeing Beverly traveling to churches and sharing her story. And I got branding for her first tour. You want to hear it? How to dance before the Lord without legs. You know that you don't need legs to dance before the Lord because worship is a matter of the heart. It's not about your body. And so I'm in that hospital room and I start preaching to Beverly as God's preaching to me. And so I wanted to preach this to you this morning because I know that there's more of us in this place who are looking at things that aren't there. And, well, I don't have enough money and I don't have enough friends and I don't have enough, and my relationships are a mess, and you're looking at the wrong thing, and God wants to show up in your life today and say, look up. Look to the stars, because God isn't finished with you yet. Come on, church, God isn't finished with you yet. Doesn't matter what you've lost, God's got something more for you. You know how Jesus was able to endure the crucifixion of a cross? Hebrews says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured. Jesus had vision because he saw a day when you would be in this place today worshiping him. And he said, I'll die for them. I'll die for them. Jesus had vision. God can give you a vision for your life. Let's stand to our feet and let's pray together this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love for every person in this room, all across this place. God, I thank you for vision, Lord God. I thank you for releasing a picture of where you are taking us, Lord, not just as a church, but as individuals and as families and as couples, Lord God. I thank you that you have a vision for our future that is so big and so beyond what we currently are, Lord God. I ask that you would help us see it. And I ask, Father God, that you would just give us a determination, Father God, to just hang on to you and to never let go of that vision, Lord. So we give you glory and praise today, Father, and we just thank you for your love for Beverly, Lord God, right now. We lift her up to you as a church body, and we just speak your blessing over her, Lord God. We don't believe that any single thing that's been stolen from her can slow you down in her life, Lord God, that there's not one thing that the enemy could do in her life that will make you slow down your plans, God. That what the enemy intended for evil, God, you're going to use for good. And we declare that over Beverly today, that God, you've got great things in store for her. Hallelujah. Lord, we praise you in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we would love to pray with you if you're here and you would like prayer. We'll have our prayer teams up front, so please make yourself available to that. Thank you for picking up a project share list and a street on the way out to help us with that. God bless you. Have a great day. Your feet, I can see the unseen. Truly, one look at you and I'm undone.